economics research and evaluation at UTS. Dr. Longden, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Now, what are the statistics on cold temperature and warm temperature deaths? Just how many people are we talking about here?
So my study was looking at about 1.6 million deaths across Australia, and nationwide between 2006 and 2017, I was estimating that about 32,000 people had died directly from the heat.
Well, and why is it that heat is deadlier than the cold when it comes to mortality rates? Why are we seeing more people in danger from the heat than the cold?
So really, part of the story and part of the research was breaking down Australia and estimating temperature-related mortality across different climate zones. And so basically, there is one climate zone in Australia around Tasmania and some of the colder parts of Victoria and New South Wales where the cold is more dangerous than the heat. But elsewhere, and where most of the rest of the population lives, we live in warmer climate zones, and some of those are really quite warm. And basically what's happening there is our bodies have a real big problem modifying our temperature and keeping our bodily functions going when the temperature rises about 37 degrees. So our internal temperature is about 37 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So once, you know, hot heat basically putting a lot of pressure on our physical functioning, and it really impacts the heart and the kidneys.
Okay.
So really the heat can be quite dangerous for a range of people.
And we do have quite a few of those above 37 degree days in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. And some, so even, so it doesn't take a 37 degree day. It can be a lot lower. It's just that that is what our bodies are sort of regulating our temperature at.
Mm.
So once we move away from a comfortable temperature, whatever that is, that challenge becomes more difficult, and it definitely becomes more difficult for people who are more elderly and might have some specific health conditions.
Mm, absolutely. You mentioned that Tasmania and parts of Victoria and New South Wales definitely are affected by the cold, but is there any area geographically within the country that we're seeing higher proportions of deaths linked to heat? I would assume it would be more up towards the top end.
Yeah, well, it's also it's also the warm summer, cold winter region, which also includes most of our major capital cities, which is Sydney and Melbourne and Adelaide as well. So really, my results, I broke down Australia into six different climate zones. And why I wanted to do that is I wanted to compare it to previous studies that had found that the cold was more dangerous than the heat.
Mm.
And I could only find that result in the coldest cold climate zone in Australia, which is really around Tasmania and parts of Victoria, New South Wales and the ACT. And part of the story there was I used the same methodology but changed what my reference temperature was, where I separate heat and cold. So when I talk about heat and cold, in contrast to previous studies, I'm always talking about 50-50. So I classified temperatures 50% as cold and 50% as heat.
Okay.
So if you think of the top north, like you said, the heat is more dangerous, and actually that bottom 50%, that cold distribution, the bottom 50% is actually quite moderate and quite comfortable compared to the rest of Australia.
Wow.
And so I actually find a negative impact of cold there. So I find that the bottom 50% of temperatures for the top north and other sort of northern Queensland region, Northern Territory, WA, is actually decreasing the number of deaths because those temperatures are more comfortable for the human body.
Mm, absolutely. Is there anything that we can do to reduce the number of heat-related deaths on a micro level or on a larger scale?
So one thing that I'm really trying to express is that we don't want people to become complacent. And as you said, temperatures are rising. And so our summers are becoming different. But also at the same time, people are becoming different. So people are getting more elderly, and also the different types of health conditions they have are also impacting our vulnerability to the heat. So we need to really ensure that people are adapting to the heat and changing their behaviour during extreme heat days. And some of that will be, so we're getting better at talking about the issue, but we're still not really directly communicating with those people who are very vulnerable. So, you know, the media and even weather forecasters on the news are talking much more about here comes a heat wave and really amplifying the message that there's a lot of dangers, but that's not really necessarily going to those people who are the most vulnerable. And there are heat wave alerts around Australia that trigger different responses. But one of the challenges will really be having medical resources available during heat waves, especially over that sort of Christmas period, because one of the most vulnerable periods for Australia is that December-January period. So that's people changing their behaviour, doing different things that they normally wouldn't do, but also even the healthcare system being ready for, you know, a large intake of people on a hot day. And part of the story is also the homes we live in. You know, having better insulation and cooling is quite important. That's improved over the years, but it's really the elderly and vulnerable who might be missing out there and actually living in some houses that are quite old and really not adapted and not really modified to cope with the heat.
Absolutely. And when we hear those warnings, I guess a lot of people think, oh, I'm not elderly, I'm not sick. But we need to be thinking about those in our community who are and those around us who are, making sure we keep everyone nice and safe. Really interesting research, Thomas. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you for joining us this morning.